Yo, yo, what's up, everybody? E-Society Podcast, Spotify for podcasters. That's what you want to call it, a.k.a. the Anchor. It is Big Brother time.
Yay!
Yep, so the Zisu and I are back. I had one of my friends go, I thought you weren't doing that no more. Come on. But I'm here, everyone. But I'm looking at the live feeds right now. It is Thursday night at the 9:32 in the PM, and there is nothing going on. I saw a dog, and then is this a rabbit?
It is, because if you switch to if you're on Paramount Plus, if you switch to live TV, the episode's airing right here now on the West Coast. So that's why the feeds are down. Yeah.
Okay.
So the feeds won't be up until the episode's over. But
it comes on at 9?
It comes on at 9. I was lucky enough to see it at 6 because last week I bought the VPN, but it didn't work for me on my phone. And I was a little frustrated, but I thought today, hey, why don't I try it on the TV? So like the VPN app. So I logged into Nord on there and it actually worked, kind of. I was able to log in to the VPN, connect to a Miami server, but when I turned on Paramount Plus, it gave me a Detroit live TV. So I got the East Coast episode, but then the problem was, and I don't know if it's because of the VPN or whatever, usually when I stream live TV through Paramount Plus, it doesn't go down at all, but it kept like doing the loading circle thing. So a couple times I was getting annoyed. I was like, no, I'm wanting to watch this, but I'd have to back out and restart it. So, and then the really weird thing was after it, the Challenge USA was on and I was like, oh, I might as well watch it. And it completely, I lost the Detroit feed. And I went back to the VPN. I turned it off. I turned it back on. I connected to Miami. I went on it, and it, wasn't working. And I was like, oh, I guess I got lucky for a minute there, but I don't know.
I don't know how that stuff works, so I don't fool with it. I can wait.
I paid for the month, so obviously it hasn't been a positive experience so far because can't get it to work at all on the phone. And yeah, like I said, I kind of got it to work on the TV, but I'm a little concerned that the results I got. I was lucky to make it work today, but I don't know if I'll be able to repeat that regularly.
But what's going on in the house?
Yeah, tonight was eviction night, and leading up to the events of the day, like we talked about in the last pod, the house has been hectic, and there was an attempted flip of the vote, but it happened too early, and once that usually happens, most of the time people, I guess you could say, come to their senses, and they have too much time to think about it, and instead of making the fun, exciting move, they make the smart move, and the smart move is usually not as exciting, not as good for TV, not as good for chaos. And so, yeah, everybody decided it was the best thing to do was to just go ahead and evict Riley. And everybody's still pretty much Heisum's going to be a house target. But when it came down to it, it was actually pretty sad to. Because Matt was really close with Riley. If they got to spend more time, maybe they would have been able to develop more of a relationship, a possible showmance, but their time was cut short. And also sad because Matt, as the deaf player in the house, Riley did a thing for him where she caught him up every day on everything she had heard around the house. So that was a really nice thing for him because, like I said, he has a hard time. Obviously, especially in a group setting, hearing what's going on. So Riley really helped him there. But in the end, when it came down to the vote, I knew it wasn't obviously we weren't even going to get a little bit of a blindside, because for going into the vote when the feeds went down, it looked like Izzy and Sari were ready to blindside Jag, Blue, and Matt, and like let them think that they were going to save Riley. But when it came down to it, yeah, Jag like voted third, and he voted to evict Riley, and he said with a heavy heart, and I was like, oh, and then I was like, well, is Matt even going to give her a sympathy vote? But no. And it turns out Riley, when she gave her interview, she said when she, you know, knew it wasn't there, she told her closest allies, don't mess up your game for me. And while that's nice, it's just, you want a little thing, you want a little shakeup. You want things to be a surprise and whatnot. So yeah, would have been nice, but we didn't get any blindside butter beans, as Jasmine famously said last year.
What's this thing you sent me about Luke?
Oh,
I'm saying.
Yeah. He did a little interview with Entertainment Weekly, and basically he thought it was unfair that he got removed from the Big Brother house. He thinks it should have been a slap on the wrist, a warning, something like that. But he obviously realizes how bad it was, and he expects that he's going to be pretty radioactive now. He doesn't expect anybody from the cast is going to want to see him or deal with him, because once the show is over, usually these former Big Brothers contestants, like, they get together for like years to come. Like this most recent season premiere, 2 years ago, one of the members of the Cookout, Azza, she threw a party in New York where tons of former Big Brother players came to this to her event. So Luke's not expecting to be accepted.
All right, really quick. In an hour-long Instagram video, expelled Big Brother contestant Luke Valentine spoke about the circumstances surrounding him being kicked out of the house for using a racial slur. Valentine was removed from the game August 9th for violating the show's code of conduct after using the N-word in a conversation with Cody, Hysam, and Jared. I'm not even going to say the last names because I don't even try to pronounce them. A week later, in a live Instagram video, he said he has been recorded from Havana. Is that where he lives?
He lives in Florida.
Okay, where he works as a dishwasher. All right. Valentine took questions while smoking a cigar. I feel like a king without a kingdom. Valentine told those who tuned in, but I still feel like a king. When asked if he was upset at the production for pulling him from the game, Valentine answered that he thought that the penalty was too harsh. I'm not upset with the production. Their hands were tied. They had to make sacrifice. I understand why. It is upsetting. I think they made the wrong decision. I think a slap on the wrist would have been a much better thing. All right. Slap on the wrist? Hell no, man. You got what you deserved.
He meant first to say narwhal.
First of all, he knew he shouldn't have said it. It slipped out.
Yeah.
Don't try to play it off. I meant to say it. It's too late. You already said it. And I agree with a lot of the people that said, oh, it came out of his mouth. It's a little bit too easy.
Right.
Okay, I can agree with that. Or I could be right. I could be wrong. I don't know. I don't know the man. But for him to say they should have just slapped him on the wrist, no, man, it's in their code of conduct. They can't just, you're all right. You seem like a cool guy. We'll just let you slide. No, it doesn't matter. Yeah. Did what's her name get kicked off for saying it? No.
Well, she didn't, but I think they tried to sweep it more under the rug because the writing was on the wall. She was going to be evicted. So they were like, we already have one problem here. Let's not make it double for ourselves. Kirsten's already leaving. So But they canceled her exit interviews. She only is getting interviewed today, and I haven't listened to or read anything. But Kirsten's finally getting interviewed. I heard she got asked about it, but I haven't read the answer.
I've asked my friends that are black, and I said, what do you think? I explained to them the situation. A few of them said she's black. She could say it. A couple of them said, I don't think she should have said it. They choose not to say the word because they think it's wrong and it shouldn't be said. Fine. That's whoever says it and who doesn't want to say it. It is fine. I get it and I understand it and I support it, but he shouldn't have said it, especially on TV.
Yeah.
A white guy saying it on TV. Nah.
Yeah.
No, he shouldn't have said it, period. So, I mean,
it was like 2 a.m. Big Brother time. Like, so that's 5 a.m. East Coast time, but it doesn't matter. Feeds are always on. And honestly, at that time, like, who knows how many people are manning it. If it was a more like prime time, like they would have caught it and cut it. But the fact that it got out for everybody to see obviously made it even worse. If they would be able to cut it from the live feeds, there's a chance he actually could still be in there. But once they let it slip, no way.
I don't know whoever recorded it and threw it out there.
Well, but no, I mean, it made the live feeds.
I know, but people record stuff like that and they caught it. So it wasn't like you can go and rewind the live feeds to catch it. Somebody or whoever, maybe multiple people, will record the live feeds as they're going on. And then,
oh, yeah, a lot of people.
Yeah.
Because all the people that do the coverage, that they got to see everything. They have it.
They caught it, and that clip was out there. So it's, yeah. I mean, especially something like this. If it was like they weren't doing no live feeds and he said it while they were just filming, they could have easily just edited it out. But as soon as his live feeds, I mean, whatever's happening, they're going to catch. I'm sure the production, I mean, who knows? Maybe the production guys didn't catch it. Maybe they were talking or whatever. And he just said it. But once it got out, like online, that this guy said that, that's when everything gets out of control. And that's when they're forced to look, he can't say it. He's out. So that was the reason. But as far as him saying, no, they should have just slapped me on the wrist. It was he's basically saying it was no big deal. It is a big deal.
Right.
So, but I mean, they did the right thing. They got rid of him, but he doesn't seem like he's like butthurt about it. He's kind of like, whatever. And life goes on. But I don't know what he said in this long ass video. I'm not going to read this whole thing. But
no, me either.
I just wanted to read the beginning because that's pretty much what he's saying. That he's, like I said, he's basically saying it was no big deal. But he's wrong. So, but I don't know how that's going to go. But is it going to ruin his life? I don't know. Maybe not.
It was pretty. He's a pretty early out. They've already removed him from the little intro thing. They've only aired that intro twice. He was in it the first time. The second time they aired it, he wasn't in it. The little intro where they do like a quick pose and it says their name, like Kirsten, Luke, Chrisom, and they do like a little move.
Has anyone mentioned him since he left?
No.
They probably told him, don't even bring his name up.
They probably did. And I mean, the game does, obviously the game does continue, and it was a really hectic week. Like the flip, first it was going to be Riley out, then there was going to be Cameron out, and then it flipped back to Riley, and Riley was evicted by unanimous vote tonight. So sad to see her go. She joins the list of, I think it's like 6 or 7 people who were head of household week 1, and then week 2 they were evicted from the game. Most recently, 2 years ago, Frenchie in the cookout year was last to do it. He was a lot more hectic though than Riley. Actually, right now, if you were to flip on the, I just switched it over to the West Coast airing. The votes going down right now. They just came back. It's already 4 votes against Riley. It's going to be whatever, unanimous. But
so Riley Smedley, age 24, hometown Portland, Maine. Occupation, bartender. She is the next one on the chopping block, and they brought down
She's
that.
Gone. She's
brought
gone.
Down the axe, and she is out. So she is out, as well as what was the
Kirsten.
Kirsten.
Yeah. Riley and the preseason notes I wrote. Podcasters think she has Kat Dunn vibes from BB21. Bartender, self-described natural spaz. That really did show in the house. She definitely showed that side of herself. But she did appear to have a good strategy. She was ready to adapt to whatever situation and not float. She was center of the house. So
who was this you're talking about?
Riley.
Okay.
Kirsten, keep secrets because she can't keep up with lies. That's what I had in my preseason notes for her.
You're not playing the game right. You got to lie to win in this thing.
Well, you also got to keep up with your lies, though.
I know.
That's hard. 100 days of lies.
It's a game, everyone. You play to win no matter what you do. Don't go on this, we're supposed to be friends forever. No, you're trying to win that money, and you do what you got to do to win. It's a game. Get that in your heads. I'm going in there once to make friends and all this. Nah, you go in there to win that money.
I told you. Yeah, she was ranting the other day to herself. She was like, oh, my God, what is with these people? Why are you crying every single day?
See, that's what I've been saying.
Big brother, it's strategic. There's yes. luck. It's a yes. competition. What yes. it is an emotional.
She was yes. going off. See?
Why get her on. Hey, if you're listening to it.
She needs to come on the show and back me up. I agree with everything she said. It is a game. Kirsten Elwin, age 25, hometown, Orlando, Florida, via Dominica. Okay. Occupation,
molecular
biologist. Okay. Cool, man. She's beautiful.
She's fine. She's fine. Yeah, she wanted a big alliance to steamroll, which is not what the fan base wants to hear. We hate steamrolls. Steamrolls are boring. She might be able to get into a big alliance. Otherwise, she might be in trouble. And she was. She tried to start a million alliances. Everybody talked about it, and it made her the week one target. And she's out. So.
And Luke Valentine, age 30, hometown, Winston, Florida, occupation, illustrator. And dishwasher. Well, he's out. So what's that? 3?
That's 3. Luke referred to himself as a himbo, considered himself a planner and possible backstabber. He wanted to hide his Sagittarius zodiac sign, which I thought was a really weird thing to say in his preseason interview. But
he axed himself, so.
Yep. And right now, going into week 3, Heisem is very much the house target for the way he played his head of household. He was riding with the professor's side, but then he got power, and it became really clear that he was just mad at Riley and the younger side of the house because he wanted to play with them. And that's why he made Riley his target this week, because she was the power week 1. So, but he, like, revealed himself to be, you know, really judgmental and pretty bossy, and Heisem's in a lot of trouble. There's almost everybody in the house would be willing to either put him up or backdoor him here in the second week. Bowie Jane could probably get talked into it. I don't know if Red would, but almost everybody else, because all the professors, all the young side of the house, the former handful. It's pretty much like a house mission right now to get Heisem out.
And why? Nobody likes him? Or?
Well, no, he just, whatever. He fell victim to HOH-itis, the power trip of it all. And yeah, he.
Already?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
How long have they been in there now?
Because every week there's a head of, you play a game and then you're head of household and you get to choose who to put up on the block. You get a room upstairs all to yourself. So it's what it's called, the HOH-itis, because people, they let the power go to the head, they let the power trip. And yeah, he like alienated his alliance, the professors, which is the older people in the house, Suri, Miss Felicia, McColl, Bowie Jane, Red's in there. But yeah, like you said, he wanted to play with the younger side. That's why he was so mad at Riley. So it is the goal pretty much of the house. It would be interesting if Red gets it. He might be able to be talked into it. I'm guessing. Right now I don't. And the fact is, because you can't play for head of household 2 weeks in a row. So that's why everybody also sees this opening. They see him as a target, and there's an opening here. Unless he gets picked to play for Vito. And that's the idea. That's why the house decided not to save Riley, because they want to keep him calm. They actually don't want to let him know this is coming, which is another thing why they're mad at him, because he's talking about like, oh, blindsides are not honorable, and I play with honor and integrity, and I'm going to teach these people about integrity. And everybody's like rolling their eyes like, give me a break, you know? It's a game. We're here to play the game.
Well, that's what you there to do. So
yeah. Well, the big exciting news to come out, I almost couldn't believe it too, because like I was a little bummed that Riley left. I wanted to see her stay, and if I couldn't see her stay, I at least want to see some kind of blind side where Matt and Jag and Blue voted to keep her to stay, and then that created some friction in the house. But it didn't happen. But the big news we did get, super exciting. So many years in the making. What is that? Like seven, so it's four, another three, seven. Yeah, 17 years. The Big Brother community has waited for Pressure Cooker to return. It's the longest competition ever in the history of the show. I said it took 17 hours in my text to you. Turns out it was only 14, but that's still a lot. That's the longest competition that's ever taken. Back in 2006, Big Brother 6, the Pressure Cooker competition, they're in the backyard and they built this little like greenhouse clear structure thing, and all the contestants go inside, and all you do is you press a button and you got to hold it down. And that sounds boring, but there's like elements to it, and then there's offers. Like every hour, usually there's an offer that comes in. Like back then it was let go and you get like a year subscription to Netflix, when it was like the, you know, just the DVD rentals. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it was stuff like that. So now it's back after all these years, people really wanted it. And Big Brother's really gotten away from like these long competitions. The longest one, the most recently, was like back in 2017. They had one that went around 5 hours. So competition time is like way down, and I get it, because you got to have people there to monitor it, and it's a whole production. So I get they don't want these long comps, but for the 25th anniversary, it's kind of cool. They're bringing it back because it's what the fan base asks for every year, because everybody was so excited. And the one thing that was exciting about it was after 14 hours, it was two people left, Jennifer and Kaser, all the way back then. And America loved Kaser. They didn't love Jennifer. And then it just so happened, Jennifer told Kaser that he was safe. So he let go of the button, and then she nominated him and he was evicted. So she completely screwed him over, and America hated Jennifer for that. And they love Kaser. We still love Kaser, but, yeah, everybody's excited for this to come back. There is a twist that Julie said to this one that I think will bring down the time. I don't think we're going to get a 14-hour comp. It's going to be Scaryverse themed. So I'm betting that they'll try to jump scare him to let go, basically.
All right. See if it works out.
Yeah. You'd be great at that, I'm sure. Because you can't get got, right? I mean, you're a horror master. So if they tried to jump scare you, they wouldn't get you, right?
Probably not. I mean, especially in a game show, something like this. I don't think I could. It would get me.
That like, I mean, turn out the lights.
No, I mean, cause, I mean, this is the only reason I don't think it would affect me. Is because you expect it.
Right. I mean, right.
It's
you know it's coming.
It's not. Yeah, you know it's coming. You don't know where it when and where when. It's coming, but you know it's coming. Yeah, right. So you just gotta maybe you'll flinch, but you're not gonna go. Wah! It'd be different if I'm walking down the street and not expecting it, but expect to get knocked out. I mean, I don't know what it is with me. I do this all the time, even with my wife. If you come out of nowhere and try to scare me, my right hand cocks back. What I learned in the street, man, you got to be ready at all times, no matter what, man. Just know when to swing. I mean, just the other day, shout out to my friend Sarah at work. I was sitting at her chair, and she came up behind me, and my left hand just went up super fast. It actually caught her in the side of the face.
Wow.
Did I do it on purpose? No, man. It's just my natural instinct to just prepare, always be ready. I'm sure someone could get me. I'm not the fastest one, but I don't know. I mean, I love the video. I love it's. I think it was on like America's Funniest Videos. It was during the Halloween month or show. Some guy walks up on a black guy walks up onto the porch with his kid, and there's a guy in a costume sitting on the porch in a chair, and when they kind of walk up, and he's got a video camera set up, when they walk up there, that guy kind of flinches, and that black guy, just like me, just whap, clocks him hella hard, and that dude falls out of the chair. Or even those guys that like sit in the big planter pots on like in Vegas, the tree guys or whatever, and try to scare you, and then they you're paying attention and they flinch or say something and everybody scream. I follow a few pages like that for TikTok. One guy, same thing. Guy was walking by with his buddies and that guy would flinch and went, and that dude just clocked him real hard and he went down. It's not everyone, but me, I pull my fists go back. So I don't know. I mean, it's different when you're not expecting it, but if you're in a game show like this and you're expecting it, just expect it to come around every corner. And
it might take 45 minutes. It might take another hour, but it's going to come.
Yeah. I mean, it's just how it is.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah. Oh man, I'm excited. There's a good chance, obviously, usually these endurance competitions are on the live feeds. And obviously that's some of the most exciting live feeds you get because we usually don't get head of household competitions or vetoes weekly. They save that for the show. So they cut to the animals for that. But when they do these comps, we often get the feeds. I know the first year I did this for the coverage of this, when I first was watching the live feeds, it was during 22, Big Brother All-Stars 2020. And it was the famous wall comp. They do it every year, but it wasn't on very long. Like it was on a few minutes and people were dropping left and right. Like it went pretty quick. So I'm really looking forward to this one though, especially like, are we going to hear like the offers? Cause they do usually offer like, hey, come, you know, let go of the button right now and you're eligible not to be a have not for the rest of the season, or release the button now and you're going to get a letter from home or something. Like you get a 1-minute phone call from home or something like that. Like there's all kinds of offers, obviously, and then like food ones, you know, some kind of gourmet meal or something like that, something crazy. So, but then, yeah, they're going to have the scares too, which they're just naturally going to try to get them off. Or maybe it'll just be flat scares. Maybe it won't be the temptations. Like that was all the way back in 2006. Yeah. One thing I did want to mention too is I saw the O'Reilly eviction for the second time here. When they told Kirsten last week's eviction about Jared being our Suri being Jared's mom, Kirsten was like, little reaction. She's like, oh yeah, that makes sense. Like, we were talking in the bathroom and he said like his nickname, and somebody said like, oh yeah, that's like Suri's son's nickname, but they still haven't really put it together. Anyways, Riley got told right now, she was totally shocked. She was like, oh my God, shut up. Like, that's crazy. Like, oh my God, they're so good. I had no idea.
Dang.
Yeah.
Have you been watching this show since the beginning?
What's that?
Have you been watching this show since the beginning?
I have not. I'm a recent expert. I started watching in 2020 when the virus hit and the NBA shut down and I didn't have any competition. And I watched all of Amazing Race again. And when I finished Amazing Race, it was like, if you liked Amazing Race, check out Big Brother. So I was like, okay. I'm looking for something. And I was like, oh man, it was funny too, because compared to Amazing Race is always interesting. They're going around the world and you get to see stuff, and then they do the competitions. Big Brother, obviously, when I first saw it, I saw they had competitions, but obviously there's a lot of talk too. There's a lot of strategy, there's a lot of drama, there's the showmance, romance, there's all this other side stuff. Obviously, I came to appreciate that later, especially the strategic aspect, because when you get a good strategic outcome, it can be really fun, really exciting. The most recent, obviously most exciting one that I witnessed, and it was just the most fun, the most exciting, was last year when the Leftovers came together. Taylor was struggling in the house. She was the house target. And all these people on the bottom, all these people that weren't taken seriously, they came together and they flipped a vote, got Amira out of the house, got Daniel out of the house, got Nicole out of the house. And yeah, it was like so fun. So yeah, but yeah, like I said, I've only been a few years for me. I became a instant expert back in 2020.
Hey. Well, all right, everybody, it's getting late, so
yeah
we'll get more under the belt, and then we'll come back to you with some more and what's going on in the house. But like we said, three people down out of how many? 18, is that what you said?
17. So there's what, 14 left?
Yep, 14.
And at I think 11 is when jury starts, I think. So 11 or 12. So there's only a few people more that are going to leave the house before. I'm hoping Heisem leaves before jury, and I'm hoping Cameron leaves before jury. But everybody else should be fine on the jury. So,
well, the three that I picked are still in it, so we'll see how that goes. Who were the three you picked? Are they all still there?
I picked McColl. Yes, she's there. Jag's still in there. He's in real danger. I don't know if the third I picked was Corey or Riley, but obviously Riley left tonight. Since then, I like America's chances.
All right, because I picked Blue, Bowie Jade, is that her name? Or Bowie Jane, and Red. So my three are still there. We'll see how long they last.
Bowie Jane in the middle. The only problem is people could just target her as a floater if they need somebody easy to put up. She's definitely in danger of that even this week. I've heard a lot of people say that they'd put up Bowie Jane and Red, but with the idea of backdooring Hassam. So.
Well, we'll see how it goes. Yeah. Boys and girls, but that's going to be it this episode. But we did drop three so far. So if you guys or everyone that listened to those, thank you so much. And if you haven't listened,
thank you.
New to the show, thank you so much. And I just dropped a how many have I done so far? 1, 2, 3, 4. All right, I dropped 5 ESP summer flicks. I got one more, and then that's going to be it because school started, and then I'm going to start up with the back to school.
And before ESP. You know it, it'll be Halloween time.
Yep. So, but everyone that listened to the summer flicks so far, thank you so much. I don't even remember what I had. let me check really quick. So far, the first one was Thrashing, the 1986 film. Then I did went to 1987 for Summer School. Went to 1984 for Meatballs Part 2. I went to 1993 with The Sandlot. And the last one that I just dropped last night or this morning. No, I think it was yesterday sometime. The 1980 film Little Darlings. So everyone that listened to that episode, so all those episodes, thank you so much, as well as the Big Brother feeds that we got for season 25. So we still got plenty more Big Brother for you this season, because it's still just in the beginning stages of the game.
Should be a good week too. Looking forward to, especially next Thursday, is going to be a lot of fun. Hopefully we get a chance to connect, but if not, obviously, I'll definitely record something if we can't connect, because pressure cookers should be awesome.
Yep. So follow us on Facebook. Obviously, you're listening to this on the ESP Spotify for Podcasters feed. Follow us on YouTube. Shoot on over to TeePublic. Pick up a T-shirt. Follow us on X, East Society Pod, at Magnus Pod, at Theo Zisu. Instagram, at East Society Pod, at The Zisu, at Magnus Pod. And follow us on TikTok, at East Society Pod, for this and that. And yeah, we'll be out there, everyone. Con season is year round, so I think the next one I'm going to hopefully is next weekend down in LA for Days of the Dead, Los Angeles. I really, really want to get there. I'm gonna be down there. I'm going to the Metallica Pantera show on Friday the 25th at SoFi Stadium. I was gonna go Sunday night too. But I got to get home. So, but my son Eric and I, we will be at SoFi in LA or wherever the hell that stadium's at for Metallica, Pantera, and Wolfgang Van Halen's band. I can't remember. I think they're called Mammoth or something like that. I believe they're playing as well. Be good to see him, but then it's going to be sad. I mean, I loved his dad, Eddie Van Halen. Rest in peace. So, well, yeah, look for us down there. And hopefully I'll be at Days of the Dead in Los Angeles. And hopefully Mike will be with us. We're not sure yet. But anyway, come back for more. We got another episode, regular episode coming. Hopefully we'll get it recorded this weekend and all of that. So, but with that, everyone, come back for more Big Brother. So until then, please be safe out there and party on.
Yep. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Till next time, have fun, be safe, and we'll see you next time. This is Signing.